Proverbs chapter 22 tonight. We're just going to use one verse here, and then we're going to move on through other verses and everything. You know, we've been talking about, we talked about reprobates on Sunday, and I was sitting there and just kind of thinking about reprobates and thinking about the fact that there are so many of them. I made the comment that there are so many in churches today, I believe, that are reprobate concerning the faith. And, you know, the Lord really showed me this, how to raise a reprobate. Somebody posted on my Facebook, well, that's not very cheerful. I was like, well, no, but it's a good warning. And that's exactly what it's intended to be. So I'm going to preach a few messages. And then God uses other people to say some things. And then I start to think about it. Nate goes, boy, that could be a whole series right there. And then I started thinking about some other ways that I've seen in the scriptures what the Bible says. And I'll tell you what, if tonight what we're going to cover is probably won't directly affect anybody here, but it might affect your family and some others that you know that you can warn and explain to them. And I just want it on record here. You know, there's a lot of churches that don't put things on record because they are afraid of not attracting people into the church if they hold a certain standard. For instance, if you preach on keepers at home, that's a scary thing to preach on. If you preach on that, you label your church, and people that aren't keepers at home or have no interest in being keepers at home, they're not going to come. Now, we understand there are certain situations that people fall in that, you know, there's not a man there to take care of them. There's some other things. They got to do what they have to do. We understand that, okay? And God understands that. That's what happens when sin enters in. What I try to do is teach you God's perfect order. And let's train a generation. Let's train our generations going ahead with God's perfect order. Amen. Let's do it right. And, you know, we can curse the past, or we can sit there and mope about what we did wrong, or we can move forward and do right. All right. And that's what you have to concentrate on. So many of God's people today don't want to grow up. Once they learn that they've been doing something wrong, their pride keeps them from doing right. And they sit there in their pride, and they say, well, I don't want to damn the past. Okay? But if you don't damn the mistakes that you made in the past, you will never press on to the future. You will, in essence, if you don't admit that you failed in the past, then you will fail in the future. Do you understand that? It's a trick of the devil is what it is. It's for you to hold on to your pride and not admit that you were doing things the wrong way for a long time. And now it's time to get some things right and to move forward and do it right. Then what can I do with that? Then I can build on that. And I can build positively. But see, what the devil wants you to do is go back and just look in the back and say, well, you know, concentrate on how much you failed. Why? That's not going to do you any good. You got to move forward. But you got to first admit that that was a failure, and now I'm going to do it right. Some people stay there, though. Well, I did this, and now I did that, and I'm going to that's not what the Bible says to do. It says to press forward, to press on. So we've got to understand that that's what God wants us to do. Now, however, some churches, they don't want to put things like that online. They don't want to tell people where they're really at with things, because then people already know and they're not going to want to come. Well, I kind of like it that way. Do you understand that? I mean, I kind of like it that I like people to know where they sit. So we just we do away with all the formalities, and you just don't show up if you don't want to follow God. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? You just won't come in if you don't want to follow God. Makes sense to me, doesn't it? Because guess what? We are here because God has brought us here to covenant together. We're not here to attract other people. We are here to preach the truth, to live the truth in our lives. And if God brings along people and builds His church and adds to it, then so be it. But if not, we are not going to dangle a carrot in front of people and try to get them to come here.
Amen.
Or a chicken leg, yeah. We're not going to do that, okay? What we're going to do is just trust the living God. That's what we're going to do, and we are going to do right. This notion out there that it's almost wrong to strengthen the brethren in the church. It's almost wrong to concentrate on their growth because it might hurt other people out there. It's ridiculous. But that's the mentality that's there. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's what we need to do. So we need to trust the Lord. And tonight, we're going to go on record with this. We talked a little bit about this, but not really a straightforward record of it. of in this sermon, how to raise a reprobate. The number one way I believe that a Christian would raise a reprobate is to take him to public school. You put your child in public school and you will raise a reprobate. No, you don't make any friends that way, do you? But that's exactly what you, now, could they make it? Sure, but boy, I sure don't like to gamble with my children's future, do you? Yeah, do you want to gamble with your children's future? I'm going to get into that. Anyway, the Bible says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It also says concerning nations, it says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, when we talk about state schools, they are indoctrination centers. It's exactly what they are. They're indoctrination centers. From this year, from this old, what they're trying to do now is to get children in the system at a young age. They want to attract them younger and younger, 2 to 3 year olds, and get them into the system. Get them into the public school, Head Start, whatever they want to call it. They want to get them in there right away. Why? Why do they want to get them in there? Right. Because they know what it'll do. They know this principle, if you train up a child. They know that. I'm going to show you how the communists know it too. How the people that founded the public school movement, how they knew it too as well. It's not enough, folks, that you just have a few pat answers for people that ask you, why are you against public school? Or people that don't really talk about it, churches that don't really talk about it. It's not enough to do it that way. You've got to be able to explain it. You've got to be able to show people. You've got to be able to teach them intelligently why you stand for something and what you stand against. The Bible tells us there are such things as reprobates. And the Bible tells us how they become reprobate. And it gives us the perfect outline, like we talked about, of what could happen to a man. Now, are all kids that go to public school reprobates? No. Are all kids that are if Christians put kids in public school, are they 100% going to be reprobate? I don't know that. But I'll tell you what. You sure will follow a pattern for a reprobate if you put them there. You're going to follow the Romans 1 pattern. I mean, it's on down the line. It gives you the pattern of how to become a reprobate. Right there. So number one, let's start with the first one. The easiest one to really detect in this whole conversation about public schools. Number one, they teach them evolution. Amen. Right. Now, I mean, I don't think that a preacher could spend enough time trying to show you the evil hand of evolution in every aspect of your life. I mean, we could do 2-hour radio shows on that for a year straight, and I don't know if we would cover all of them. In 50 shows, if we skipped a couple weeks and we did 50 shows, you could cover evolution's impact on this world. So what do you mean? Well, social engineering and all of it is all based off of that. But listen to me. It understands what the medical field. The medical field is completely based off of evolution. Pharmaceuticals, everything. The medical care industry is based off of evolution. It's not based off a creator. It's not. It's based off of evolutionary principles. Anyway, that's another story altogether. But the quickest way that you can see a child turn into a God-hating reprobate is to send them to public school. Especially if they're in a Christian home, you send them to a public school. We live in perilous, wicked, dangerous times in America. That's right. America is a cesspool of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is truly the land of fruits and nuts. More ways than one. Listen to what Adolf Hitler said. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. You think he might have understood that if I can get them at a young age and program them, then they'll turn out the way that I want them? I mean, there's a Bible principle that says that if you train them in the way they should go, God promises, God gives his blessing, that he will take care of them, that he will take care and that they will turn out right. How about this one? A communist, you know, Joseph Stalin? Let's see what he said. Education is a weapon whose effect depends on who holds it in his hands and at whom it is aimed. Joseph Stalin. One of the founders of the public school system, John Dewey. You know who he is? The Dewey Decimal System. You know that guy, John Dewey? Let me read you something about John Dewey. Our American public school system was, by and large, masterminded by John Dewey in the early part of the 20th century. Dewey was a signer of the Humanist Manifesto. Hey, but that don't have anything to do with anything, does it? That doesn't have anything to do with their absolute design and the way they design public. Nah, come on, no way. Dewey was a signer of the Humanist Manifesto and is reputed to be responsible for a great deal of its content. He was an agnostic who felt that God had no part in education and that truth was subjective and relative for the most part. You know, that's amazing. Because, Brother Anthony, when we're on the streets and we're preaching, what do we hear almost all the time from people? Relativity! So where did it come from? It came from their public school system that taught them that for about 100 years now. And guess what? It's finally hit. The chickens have finally come home to roost, right? Everything's there, right? Everything's in place now. We have generation after generation of a bunch of God-hating reprobates.
Right.
And we're filling our nation with a bunch of God-hating reprobates. Why? Because Christians thought it'd be a good idea to send their kids to public school. Because after all, we have to have 2 or 3 cars, and we have to have big houses. And we have to have all of these things that this stinking world has to offer. We got to have all of them, and we just can't do it on that way, so we got to do it this way. So we're just going to send our kid to public school. He was an agnostic who felt that God had no part in education. Did you know it? You know, I said this earlier, and I didn't even read that quote before I said that. But the funny thing is, I said education or enlightenment without God is Gnosticism. And that's exactly what it is. So what are we teaching? You're teaching them Gnosticism. In public education is teaching them Gnosticism. That's what teaches them. Why? Because you kicked God out of it. If you remove God from education, what do you have? An evolutionary enlightened being that is reaching godhood and does not need a savior. And we wonder, how did we get here? That's how we got here. You're raising reprobates. The vision of Dewey and his colleagues was to recreate America after their own image and to do it through the schools. Education is propaganda, and propaganda is education, he wrote. And that's what we have ended up with nearly 100 years later, the propaganda of a handful of secular humanists. Another man that's big on the list, George Brock Chisholm. Few parents of public school children realize that one of the primary engineers of today's godless public school philosophy was a God-hating, family-hating, immoral, sick-minded communist. His name is George Brock Chisholm. That was 1896 to 1971. Dr. Brock, the first head of the World Health Organization. Oh, that's got to be good, right? Because, hey, let me tell you, they're looking out for your best interest. Two ways you lose freedom. The most dangerous places you can be. Hospitals and airports. Oh, you crazy wacko. I know. Those are the only two places, though, that you can be taken and disappear and nobody finds you again. Anyway. Laid the blame for the war and human conflict squarely at the feet. He was the head of the World Health Organization. He laid the blame for war and human conflict squarely at the feet of parents and Sunday school teachers who from the beginning fed their children the poisonous certainties of the Bible. Don't you get it? They hated God. They're God-hating reprobates. And they put it in the public school system. And they are God-hating reprobates. And their material is God-hating. They hate God. This man that put this public school together, he hated God. The fathers of the public education system hated God. So, let's put little minds full of mush. Okay, let's just put them in the hands of reprobates and see what happens. Yep. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, you would if you send your kid 35 hours a week to school. So that's not very nice. There's good teachers there. There might be good teachers there, but they can't do good things because they have to teach bad things. They have to teach bad things because they're forced to teach bad things. He said this, even self-defense may involve a neurotic reaction when it means defending one's own excessive wealth from others who are in need. He's saying if somebody comes to your house, kicks your door and wants something from you, you know, your self-defense, it's a neurotic reaction. Remember, it's relative. There's no right and wrong. Everything's relative. Bunch of sick, God-hating losers, aren't they? Reprobates. The responsibility for charting the necessary changes in human behavior, now this is Chisholm, rests clearly on the sciences working in the field. Psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, economics, and politicians must face this responsibility, said Brock in his article, The Reestablishment of Peacetime Society. In Psychiatry, February 1946, he said, there is something to be said for gently pushing aside the mistaken old ways of our elders, if that is possible. If it cannot be done gently, it may have to be done roughly or even violently. What was he preaching? A social revolution without God! That's what he was preaching! He was preaching a social revolution, revolting against God. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. Ye shall be as gods. The hugest churches you'll ever see are public schools. They hold the biggest denominations in America, and they teach Gnosticism, and they teach anything they can, reprobate concerning the faith against God Almighty. That's exactly what they are. He said, the only psychological force capable of producing these perversions is morality, the concept of right and wrong. For many generations, we have bowed our necks to the yoke of conviction of sin. We have swallowed all manner of poisonous certainties fed by us by our parents, our Sunday school teachers. And they were the biggest designers of the public school movement. Are we surprised that we turn out children that kill each other? Children that don't know whether they're boys or girls? Children that are being... Why? Because their teachers are telling them that they're learning these things. They're learning these principles. I have a friend that his daughter was told and he forced to put her in public school. They told his daughter, well, you like to be around girls. You're a lesbian. So they've indoctrinated her that she's a lesbian. Why? Because they're a bunch of God-hating reprobates, that's why. And they're following a God-hated reprobate plan. He goes on to say this, it has long been generally accepted that parents have the perfect right to impose any points of view, any lies or fears, superstitions, prejudices, hates, or faith on their defenseless children. See that? See, you're the parents, but... You know, your poor defenseless children need to be protected from you. So these God-hating reprobates want to protect your children from you. No, what they want to do is pervert them. They want to teach them Gnosticism and to worship Satan or Lucifer, the god of education. That's why you can take your college degree and you can rip it up and you can burn it, as far as I'm concerned, especially when you have it to do with the ministry. I wouldn't take a degree from anybody from the ministry at all. All it is a model after the world. That's all it is. If you want to go to college and learn something, fine. Then if you want to, you know, get into business or something, or you want to learn something, but all this education is, most of it is just trained Gnosticism is all it is. It's just training them to learn how to think divorced from any thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and God, because they hate God. They are God-hating reprobates. Anyway, he says here that it's become a matter of certain knowledge that these things cause neurosis. In 1946, he said this. He said, it's however only recent in 1946 that it has become a matter of certain knowledge that these things cause neurosis, behavior disorders, emotional disabilities, and failure to develop to a state of emotional maturity which fits one to be a citizen or of a democracy. This was 1946. Okay, so hang on a second. This was a republic, not a democracy, first of all. Democracy is Gnostic mob rule, is what it is. That's what that is. That's what he's talking about. The other thing is, I've watched your 100 years of pumping kids with pharmaceuticals and teaching them there is no God, and I have seen the destruction of the youth in America by your satanic methods. We've seen it. We've seen what education without Christ is. It's worship of the devil, is exactly what it is. I'm going to make a lot of friends with this. Ready for more? Surely the training of children at home and school should be of at least a great public concern as their vaccination for their own protection. It'll protect you. Individuals who have emotional disabilities of their own, guilts, fears, inferiorities, are certain to project their hates onto others. They are very real menace. Whatever the cost, we must learn to live in friendliness and peace with all the people of the world. I don't think that he would like our street preaching. They go on to say this: to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism. Now, are you catching this? These are the people that engineered and crafted the public education system. Do you get it? You're not to be an individual. Why? You've got to be part of the collective. Isn't it amazing when you think about it, you go back, and I think about some recent sermons that I've heard on things like the singularity and things like that, and I start thinking that they were crafting this long ago. I mean, listen, what you have to understand about the New World Order, Illuminati, Jesuits, whatever you want to call them, the One World System, Mystery of Iniquity, it doesn't matter, they're all the same, but there's a head to it all, which is Satan. Understand this one thing, though. They are very patient. And they put plans in advance hundreds of years. And they die knowing that that plan will not see the fruition of that plan in their life. But they will damn the future with that plan as best they can before they leave this world, because they are satanic. And this public education system is satanic.
Right.
It is Luciferian to the core, because education without Christ is Gnosticism. It's exactly what it is. Exactly what it teaches. That'll make people mad. Good. Maybe it'll make a man have to do something. To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family, tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Like charismatics that say, I don't care about all this doctrinal doo-doo. Remember that guy? He said that, the founder of TBN. He said, God will sort all that doctrinal doo-doo out. They want a one world religion, one world government. And where have they done it at? Well, on the backs of the U.S. Christians in America, they have had us pay for their public education system, and we have paid for their churches. Everybody talks about tax exemption and everything like that for churches and all this. And again, everybody knows I'm against 501c3 tax exempt status or whatever. But here's the point. We've been paying for them to indoctrinate our children for years. And they've been teaching them another God. You want to raise a reprobate? Send them to public school. That might be a gamble that you might make. You'll flip a coin to see whether they'll be reprobate or not. Especially when they come from a Christian home. And they're getting two messages. By the way, I'm going to cover that on Sunday. How to raise a reprobate. Double-mindedness in the home. That's another one. Public education or state-run schools, it's like sending your son to a whorehouse and telling him you expect him to remain pure while you tempt him with evil. You understand that? Is that too rough? Is that a little too straightforward? Is it not the same thing? You send them into a wicked house of fornication and expect them not to fornicate. You send them into a wicked school system where 35 hours a week they are trained to hate God.
Right.
To not remember God in their thoughts and in their precepts and in their heart. They are not to remember His commandments. They are to go against His commandments. They go against His principles. And then we wonder why they're reprobate. Wonder why all these, and we're going to get to some statistics, by the way. We need to wake up and see what's really going on. These schools are training reprobates. It's like sending your children to the devil to teach them about life. Think about it. They spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week with teachers for 9 months learning curriculum that is void of God. They become dependent on these teachers. Some of these teachers. And why is the school system so bad? Why have things gotten so bad over the last 100 years? Why have they? Because when they decided God was no longer welcome in the school system anywhere, you couldn't bring His name up, you couldn't bring His word up. What happened? Another God moved in to take control. Satan. Lucifer, the God of this world, moved in. And he is in charge of it now. And he runs it completely. That's why teachers are fornicating with students right and left. The ladies get away with it and the men go to prison. That's pretty much what happens. The ladies get away with it and the men go to jail. They don't look at it the same when women do it as they do when men do. One of the students killed him?
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. You're taking these people And you're taking your child and you're placing them in the care of these people, their minds of mush that are there, and they're handed over to people who preach the exact opposite message. That's what you do. Everything. Not through what they just say, but the engineering and the way that it's designed is completely foreign to the Word of God. It's completely against the Word of God. It's completely antichrist.
Amen.
And this hypocrisy causes confusion in the life of a child who's given one message at home and at the church, and then 8 hours a day is being indoctrinated with the opposite message. What do you think that's going to do to somebody? You want to destroy their faith? Send them somewhere where they're telling them that everything that you ever learned, that preacher ever taught you, he's just intolerant. He doesn't understand what he's saying. He's not enlightened. He doesn't have the education. He doesn't have any of it. And your parents are just old-fashioned. They need to understand what's really going on here. This is the real world, and you can't have those Christian principles and live in this world. When they're being told that the gay agenda is fine, you just need to accept it. While I believe in the power of God to save lost sinners, He also gives us proper instructions of how to raise our children so they turn out for the Lord. You cannot do the opposite of God's instructions and then claim you are trusting the Lord and it will turn out right. That's not faith, it's foolishness. Do you understand me? Well, I just have faith that it's going to work. No, faith means that you follow God's order. That's what faith is. Faith is not doing the opposite of what God commands you to do and saying, well, I'm just having faith that it's going to work out. No, that's foolishness. That's not faith at all. You can't do the opposite of what God commands and believe that that's faith. The Bible is very clear. what happens. It says Romans chapter 1, verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. He's giving you the road of a reprobate. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. You want to raise a reprobate? Send them to public school. You'll raise one. Send them there. Let some professor, teacher tell them they came from a creature and not the creator. You realize that's what they're saying, right? Who's the creature? Who's the beast? Satan. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, who God was talking about there? They train them that they came from the beast. What does Romans 1 say? Well, if you teach, they worship the creature more than the creator and four-footed beasts and everything. What are they saying? Well, that's my grandpa. The beast is my grandpa. So that's my forefathers. That's where I came from. Want to raise a reprobate? Send them where they tell them that. Why do you think we have a bunch of kids that act like a bunch of soulless animals out there? Because they're told they are animals. You're just a little higher on the food chain, that's all. Survival of the fittest. You're just a little bit higher on the food chain, but you're an animal. You're just like that animal there. You're no different. God didn't do anything for you. You're no different. There is no God. They indoctrinate them 8 hours a day with evolutionary principles. Tell them they came from a pool of sludge. Then you try to tell me that won't have any impact on somebody. That's what I'm trying to figure. Well, I think my children can handle it. Really? When all their peers around them and everything are telling them that, well, man, you don't believe evolution? What's the matter with you? You're stupid. You're just stupid. You don't believe evolution? You got to be stupid not to believe evolution. I mean, you just got to be stupid. I mean, you believe that whole fairy tale in the Bible? Listen, you might be able to fool your grandma, but you ain't going to fool me, okay? I've been around that street long enough to know not out there talking to people and witnessing to them and preaching them and hearing their responses. That's the exact response we get from people. You know what we get from young people that go to public school? You know what we get from them? They laugh at us and they look at us. 12-year-old boy the other week just laughing at us and scorning us and mocking us. At 12 years old. Young boy. Why? Because their foolish heart is darkened and they've been taught to hate the creator, that there is no creator. There's just a creature. And if there really was a God, well, he wouldn't let all this suffering go on. So you're the highest. You're the highest on the food. What is that? All that is Satan. It's all that is. Ye shall be as gods. They're told that they're evolving. Take a good look at the world. We ain't evolving. We're devolving. Come on, man. Look at it. Look how dumb we are now. Come on. What a bunch of prideful reprobates to think that we're actually getting better. We're not getting better. Look at how wicked this world is. How absolutely disgusting we are. They tell them you're nothing more than a two-legged animal. They tell them you're nothing differentiates them from an animal except intelligence and two legs. They tell them they're evolving and they're getting better, that mankind is inherently good. I read their propaganda here. He said education is propaganda. You read it and they say, what do they say? Well, man is inherently good. He has no reason to believe he's inherently bad. Yeah, he does. There's a Bible that says man is wicked. He's evil. I heard people that follow Rush Limbaugh that like him, I've heard him say, well, man, I've read in his books. I read it back in the 80s, late, no, 90s. Back in the 90s, I read both of his books, See, I Told You So and Rush Is Right. I read both of them. And I remember one statement he made there I've never forgot. Mankind is inherently good. And people, Christians follow that guy. What is he basing that off of? Evolution. We just don't realize the impact of evolution. We just don't have any clue the impact that it has had on this nation and on people. And you want to raise a reprobate, you teach them evolution. You have some teacher, then you try to tell them about the Bible. And they're taught to think differently about the scriptures. They're taught, like Satan, to question God's authority. That's what they're taught. Not to look at the evidence and see the power of God, but they're taught to question God's authority. Evolution taught and received in Romans chapter 1 says that they'll be reprobates. It confuses them when teachers have them learning out of a book with a bunch of false information and lies in textbooks. Go see Ken Hovind's video, Lies in the Textbooks. Watch that video. Whoever's listening to this, go on YouTube and watch that video. Let your kids watch it. You know, you can have them watch. Those Ken Hovind videos are completely safe for your children to watch. Monitor them, obviously. Sit down with them and watch something productive with them. They've been taught that they're to be entertained. Well, let them learn something. Right. Sit down with them and teach them. Have an educated faith. One that you can defend and you can stand and be ready to give an answer. Too many Christians are lazy, and that's why they get their lunch cooked for them out there by Gnostics and apostates out there and reprobates, because they don't study ever. There's plenty of information out there. Stop being lazy and get to it. You're not that busy either. Don't think too that highly of yourself. Amen. That was not the public school. That was for you. That was just so you didn't think I was going soft on you. All right. What's that? You would hate that, wouldn't you? What do they want to do? They want to destroy the faith. You're trying to teach them in praying that they will receive Christ and they'll repent of their sins and they'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. All the while having some slick-talking, lying teachers and textbooks teach them evolution. What do? They talk them out of the Creator. They talk them out of their faith. How about Richard Dawkins? You know who he is? Listen to what Richard Dawkins, by the way, sells books and, I mean, videos. I mean, he's pretty popular in the evolution world here. The central message of Richard Dawkins' voluminous writings is that the universe has precisely the properties we should expect if it has no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but pointless indifference. Dawkins even admitted that his best-selling book, The Selfish Gene, was an attempt to get rid of what he regarded as an outright wrong idea that had achieved a grip in popular science, namely the erroneous assumption that individuals act for the good of the species, which he believes is an error that needed exploding. And the best way to demonstrate what's wrong with it was to explain evolution from the point of the view of the gene. Dawkins added that the reason why The Selfish Gene was a bestseller could be because it teaches the truth about why humans exist. Namely, humans are for nothing. You are here to propagate your selfish genes. There is no higher purpose to life. This is what he's telling people right here. One man said he didn't sleep for 3 nights after reading The Selfish Gene. He felt that the whole of his life had become empty and the universe no longer had a point. You think that might impact kids when they hear that? They're told one thing on the one hand by their parents and the other that they're indoctrinated for 8 hours a day or 6 or 7 hours a day with evolutionary principles. Carl Rogers said this, "I do not find that evil is inherent in human nature." Evolution reduces the value of human life to be equal to that of animal life. Evolution reduces the value of human purpose to the passing on of one's genes. Well, that explains why people are just a bunch of dogs in heat out there, and that's all that matters. Makes sense, doesn't it? After all, you're just a dog. Why would you care what you father? After all, you're just a dog. Why would you care if you aborted that fetus? Right? Don't you get it? That's the way they've been taught. They've been indoctrinated that there is no God. And they're being taught to be reprobates. And you'll raise a reprobate if you teach them that. If you allow them to be taught that. Evolution replaces the value of moral behavior with the concept of survival of the fittest. It says that moral and immoral behavior is an evolutionary selected trait that improves the survivability of the species. Wow. It's all about being on the top of the food chain, right? If you're the top, then you rule. Why do you think Darwin's the most racist, dirty, rotten, selfish pig that ever lived? Was that descriptive enough?
It wasn't harsh enough,
was it? Evil, rotten, wicked, disgusting, racist man. He hated people. He hated black people. He hated them with a passion. He hated people of color, and he believed that they were lower on the evolutionary scale. But hey, I don't see anybody screaming. I don't see Al Sharpton screaming about it to you. I don't see about any of these other Jesuit coadjutors screaming about it. Any of these other Masons screaming about it. No, because they run the education system. The education system is ran by Masons. It's ran by Jesuits. It's controlled by it. It's controlled completely. Why do you think they don't care? Why do you think these race baiters don't care? Because they really don't care about their race. That's why. They really don't care. They see them as lower on the food chain. They don't care where they're at. And they're teaching that to kids in school. You want to know where racism comes from? Why don't you try evolution? What do you think taught it? Where do you think Hitler got his ideas from for everything? Origin of Species, hello, been around a little while, hasn't it? By the way, I'm going to teach you on this soon. Darwin didn't invent evolution or the theory of evolution, okay? Darwin got it from the Kabbalah, okay? And, well, there's more to the story. The Big Bang and other things, but there's also some Jesuits that were involved with it and some others, okay? But that popularized it, and the Kabbalah had it written, the Big Bang and everything else, okay? And the Jesuits popularized it. And one Jesuit in particular, I can't remember his name, though. Do you remember his name? Yeah. Yeah. And he popularized it. But he didn't invent it either. He pulled it from somewhere. No, the devil. But he's the one that popularized it, okay? See, they all work together. The kingdom of darkness, they know how to work. But what is that survival of this? What happens with that? Where does that lead to? Columbine. On the day of Columbine High School shooting massacre in 1999, in which teenagers Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold killed 12 students and a teacher before turning their guns on themselves, people were asking, how could they do such a thing? But with both Harris and Klebold now dead, it took investigators some time to get an insight of the mindset of the killers. And they sifted through the evidence. One of the most telling pieces of evidence, as it turned out, was the inscription, Natural Selection, on the t-shirt worn by one of the killers on the day of the massacre. Ideas have consequences. You understand that? Teaching has consequences. If you want to turn them into a God-hating, denying reprobate, then teach them evolution all week and take them to church on Sunday and try to teach them creation. By the way, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. Is that public school? Is that the way he should go? The public school system has become the domain of the Democratic left, Moore argues, and it was fundamentally changed. It has fundamentally changed American culture. We're going to get into something. Indoctrination did a few things. The video Indoctrination did some things on this. And so these quotes are from the makers of Indoctrination. The public school system has become the domain of the Democratic left, Moore argues, and it has fundamentally changed American culture because it has successfully indoctrinated 5 or 6 generations of U.S. children. We estimate, listen to this, 70 to 80% of evangelical Christian children who are in public school for their entire educational career are abandoning the church and the Christian faith in their early adult years, he said. About 20% return after they get married and start having their own kids. 80%. Why? Because you're raising them to be reprobates. That's why. You're letting people teach them the opposite of what the Bible does for 5 and 6 hours a day. You think Well, the Bible says if they worship and serve the creature more than the creator, they deny the creator. Public school teaches them that everything you are taught at church is wrong. So nobody says that outright. No, they don't say it outright. They're too slick for that. Okay? I wish Christians would get a little bit of wisdom, okay? Man, does this have to be spelled out for you so easily all the time like that, people out there? They never said that. Oh, my goodness. I know, and the devil doesn't come in a big red suit with a pitchfork either and say, I want your soul tonight, okay? He doesn't come like that. He's not as dumb as we are, okay? It's just ridiculous. No, they didn't say that. No, but everything they do screams it. Their whole design does. And God forbid that you should wake up, smack yourself on the head, and get some discernment. Wouldn't that be something if you actually discern something? Think about it. That you actually use some discernment and see, wait a minute, these people teach the absolute opposite. I wonder if that's going to impact my children any. I don't know. Think it might? How do you explain to your children you're sending them to a place that teaches against your Christian principles when you're in a country that recognizes the right of the family to educate their own children? Let me ask you a question. Would you let your children hang out with Satanists and witches? Well, you are if you send them to public school. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. I did everything evil you could imagine, had access to everything evil you could imagine in public school. Anything I wanted. Anything. And I sold half of it myself. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and public school is full of witchcraft and rebellion. As evidence of a major cultural shift in the indoctrination film, he pointed out to a recent poll by Pew Research Center indicating a full 70% of millennials born in 1981 or later support same-sex marriage. By contrast, 49% of those in Generation X, 38% of baby boomers, and just 21% from the silent generation support homosexual marriage. It's incredible, Moore said, of the cultural shift. We're losing the cultural right in our homes and in our churches, and it's because of government education. It's one of the reasons. We're raising reprobates by sending them to public school. In January, a California-based legal organization reported a spike in hostility towards Christian students in public school. Attorney Bob Tyler of Advocates for Faith and Freedom told Christian News Network, "We have seen a dramatic increase of phone calls nationwide as it pertains to kids in public schools who are facing hostility because of their faith." According to the report, Tyler said reports aren't a result of student bullying. The reports all surround hostility from teachers and school administrators who are curtailing the students' free speech rights simply because they're Christians and they might express a Christian worldview. You can find that at WND.com/2014. Claims Christians sin by putting kids in public school. I believe they do too. I believe it's a sin to put a kid in public school.
Amen.
I go on record to say that. I believe it's a sin. Yeah. Young minds that are persuaded by peer pressure around them constantly. You understand that? You're going to raise a reprobate. Why? Because everybody is pressuring them around them. Pressuring them to compromise what they believe. Constantly being taught by their peers that the Christian life is weak. You want to raise a reprobate? Put them in a public school where kids have iPods, cell phones, they're sexting nude pictures and pornography all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you think that they weren't going to do that? Did you think you could hand somebody? Did you think that you could actually hand some kid with no discernment, with nobody monitoring them, and they weren't going to do perverted things with this? Really? You don't think that's going to happen? I can't believe independent Baptists are giving their kids cell phones like this and being like, hey, okay, I trust you. Really? Yeah, I raised them right. They're not raised yet. They're still kids. I'm sorry. I haven't seen that whole teenager thing in the Bible. Can you show me that whole evolutionary principle? Where this kid is no longer an adolescent or a child, and then he becomes a man. No, my Bible says he becomes a man when he goes and he marries a wife. Then he's a man. And then he leaves his father and mother. Amen? No, he's all right. He wouldn't do anything like that. Really? See, you just don't trust anybody. Nope. Uh-uh. Uh-uh. Nope. So why do you like that? Because I know how wicked I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give putting that much temptation in my son's hand. And I would never send him off to a public school where these public school kids can be like, hey, man, let me show you what you can do with that phone. I mean, really? I mean, it's like, or I'll give you a better one. I wouldn't send him off to Christian school either. Because Christian school kids fornicate up in the different parts of their school too by themselves because nobody's watching them. Because nobody's going to watch your kids like you are. You just have a problem. You just don't trust anybody. Yeah, I have this little problem of trusting human nature. I know how fallen it is. Yeah, I have a little problem with that, trusting human nature. That's why I try not to put myself in positions where I can fall. Right? Amen? Oh, you must have a problem because you preach on things like that. Every man has a problem.
Right.
Unless he's a sodomite or something, then he's got a different problem. Every man has a problem. You are to be the biggest influence on your children. On your children's life, not the state educator, not the kids that go to school with them who come from lost homes. In public school, I sold the wickedest magazines. I smoked, I drank, I got everything I wanted. I'm not bragging. I'm warning you! You want to know the scariest part of it? The scariest part of it was I wasn't even a year out of Christian school when I did it. I wasn't even a year out of it. Not even a year. Sixth grade. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. We have nearly 85% of Christian parents send their kids to public school. Did you hear that? Nearly 85% of them send their kids to public school. We wonder why we're losing the nation? We wonder why we're losing the youth? Really? I mean, I just don't get how there's this like great disconnect. Like somehow things got holier over the last 20 years since I was in school. I just don't get where these Christians, I have a hard time understanding where they're coming from. Because, I mean, I know how bad it was when I was a kid. And now the teachers are fornicating with the students. It isn't even the students you gotta worry about. You gotta worry about the teachers. The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen is like 22-year-old ladies, listen to me, teaching 16-year-old boys. I mean, really? Seriously? I mean, that ought to be proof to you that we're not evolving. Okay, because you can't be that dumb on your own. I mean, you got to have help with that. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, okay? That is the absolute... Come on! Come on, really? Man, I was 16 and 17. You're going to bring a young 22-year-old lady to teach school? Around a bunch of young boys? Sorry, kid. He didn't like the idea either. Did you hear him? It wasn't even that loud. I think he was mad because his mom put him down. Anyway, think about it, though, right? I got to keep moving. But seriously, I've never heard of anything like that. I shouldn't say that. I keep saying that because I keep hearing dumb things. Okay, but that's crazy to me. Who would think that would be or the opposite, right? I remember when I was in school, and I'll tell you what, the creepy gym teachers, they creeped me out, okay? The way they like to talk to girls and everything, and they did what's the politically correct way to say that class that they do? Huh? No, not that class. They had the gym teachers teaching the other class where they teach them about education. Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? That type of education. And I'm like, this is like really weird because there's like this creepy dude and he's talking about this stuff and that's it. And he's talking about all these gross things. I'm not going in. Don't worry. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not the PE teacher. I'm not gross. Okay. But that's the stuff that they were teaching about health and everything. And they get into all this weird stuff. And I mean, here's this like dude talking to these teenage girls about this and it's creepy. I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is gross, man. This is disgusting. Like, I mean, in mixed company, in a room together, and discussing these things. But that couldn't possibly have a bad effect. Oh, yeah, now they're starting them younger, yeah. Perishing generation, he calls it. Public schools are one of the leading reasons the next generation is falling away from a solid biblical worldview and a faith-based life. Studies show that because of the intensive secular humanistic indoctrination occurring in the public schools, it is approximated that over 80% of children from Christian homes are walking away from Christians in the United States, are walking away from church by the time they reach a college age. Most Christians in the United States, including many pastors and prominent leaders, are asleep at the wheel on this cold, hard reality. Thankfully, some have already woken up. One notable pastor, Scott Brown, wrote, I don't know who this is, but I'm just reading what he said. If current trends in the belief system and practices of the younger generation continue, in 10 years, church attendance will be half of the size it is today. Why? Because we're raising reprobates, that's why. You send them to the public school, you teach them there is no creator, and you put them around a bunch of wicked, lost, hell-bound sinners, and you wonder why something's going to happen? How about propagating promiscuity? The Heritage Group reports every day 8,000 teenagers in the United States become infected with a transmitted disease. 8,000. Well, I don't know. You put them in a room together and you talk about all this stuff. They see it all on their phones. Everything in the culture is geared towards that. And then you place them all together in a public place and that's surely nothing could happen. Unsupervised. They walk around and do whatever they want to do pretty much until they're, and then the teachers are promoting that too. And they're armed with explicit classroom demonstrations brought to you by Planned Parenthood. How about that? It's no surprise that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends the HPV vaccine for 11 and 12-year-old kids, girls. Yeah. Well, no, this is a vaccine. HPV, it's wicked. They don't need it. We've already discussed, though, the sodomite agenda, and you can look into that. Public school is an unsafe environment. It's unsafe. I used to fight all the time in public school. And I used to fight all the time there. In fact, remember the other day that I found that kid found me from I mean, he's not a kid, he's my age, but when we were kids in school, and he's like, I remember some Jason Cooley, he was a bully. I was like, oops, he found me. Did you see that thread? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I knew a Jason Cooley. He was a bully. He picked on everybody. Well, not everybody. It's weird people. If you want to raise a reprobate, send them off to public school. Watch them become discouraged and get a mentality of if you can't beat them, join them. Because that's what ends up happening to them. Are we surprised that homosexuality and fornication is rampant in public schools? The Bible already said if you follow Romans chapter 1, that's exactly what's going to happen. When they deny there's a God and they worship the creature, What is evolution? Worshiping the creature. That's what it is. You want to raise a reprobate? Give them some Bible teaching on Sunday and some during the week, then 40 hours a week of public education. Yeah, then squeeze it in. Send them to a place where the boys and girls are devil-possessed. Because they are. Where girls don't know they're boys and girls want to be boys. That ever makes sense to you? They have a role reversal problem. Where the order of the sexes is not only frowned on, it's preached against. There is no order of the sexes. There is none. That's what they teach you. Everybody is equal. Everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. Everybody's equal. We cannot be so naive to think that the message of public education will not destroy a child's Bible faith. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. I know most parents assume their child's saved because they said a prayer, though, and they send them off to a public school. Say, oh, you got to be. There's a mentality out there. Oh, well, they can be missionaries. That's stupid. That's stupid. It is stupid to say, well, we got to keep the public schools. Somebody has to be a light to them. Well, not your kid. They don't have to be sacrificed on the altar of Satan there. Ridiculous. What's that? Yeah, Amnon had a friend. That's a good sermon. Yeah, it is. The message of public school is designed to take the word out of their hearts. As society devolves into perdition, the message only gets worse. It doesn't make sense to send children to their possible doom, does it? You think about this. I'll leave you with this. What's the answer to not being a reprobate, to not raising a reprobate? Number one, you keep mom at home. You keep her at home. The Bible says, keep her at home that the word of God be not blasphemed. Does that mean anything to you? You know, that word blasphemed is not used that much in Scripture. I think I don't remember, but in my studies, I thought it was like 4 or 5 times it was used. But it was used very clearly on a few things that God was very serious about. And he said here, keep her at home that the word of God be not blasphemed. Why is it blasphemed? Because you totally change the order of God. And it's blasphemy. As a Christian, you're blaspheming. Amen. I realize it's not possible for all to do, and there'll be some things that happen. A father leaves or whatever, doesn't take care of his responsibility. I know there's a lot of deadbeat dads out there. They're worthless, gutless, cowardly men that won't take care of their wives and are perfectly capable of doing it, but won't do it. We also understand there's health issues, father's sick or whatever. There's things that can come up. Sin brings things over. But whatever happened, let me ask you a question. Whatever happened to godly grandparents, if they had to, moving in and helping one another? Whatever happened to people getting back to the family? Oh, I know, because you're told and decided, well, you shouldn't do that. That's not right to do. You shouldn't do that. Why? The Bible shows clearly that children took care of their parents if they had to, if they needed it. And they cared for them the rest of their life. It also showed that they would pool together and they would take care of one another. Amen. When they needed it. They would pool their resources together. How about church members helping one another out if a mother or father has a problem teaching something in homeschool? Why not help one another? If you have a problem, don't be too proud to ask for help. Ask somebody for help. Ask a lady. She might know something more than you do about the subject and get some help with it if it's a problem. I mean, I think as a last-ditch move, I think Christian school is what you should do. I don't agree with the design of Christian school, really. I'm not really for it, but it's better than public school. It depends on which Christian school it is, obviously. But it can be better than public school. At least the Bible is there. At least the truth is there. At least they're not being taught that they evolved. At least they're being taught scriptural principles of how they got here. They're being taught that there is a God in heaven. They're being taught that there is that there's at least that there's sin, and then there's right and wrong, and it's not relativity. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. That's it should be the last one, okay? You shouldn't just say, oh, I'm going to send... Because here's what a lot of people do, okay? They send their wife to work, and they put their kid in a Christian school. That's not God's design either, okay? But pastors thought, well, if I got to beat the public school system, and I still get a big offering, here's how I'm going to do it. And we can build a big church with a Christian school, too. So here's what we're going to do. We'll just start having Christian schools. And then we'll have teachers come in and they can teach. And then we employ a bunch of people. We bring a bunch of traffic here. And then people will join the church and the church will get real big. And the school will... The only problem is that those kids don't have mom at home like they should. And they're still not being directed like they should if mom were doing it. Now, I understand if there's no dad and you have to put your kid in a Christian school. I get it, okay? I get that. All right? That's the way it has to be. But you know what? That's not God's perfect order. God's perfect order is keepers at home that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's God's perfect order. That's God's design. Why is it God's? Because otherwise you take the risk of sending him off and saying, hey, teach my kid opposite of what I believe 40 hours a week for the next 12 years of their life. Watch them turn into a God-hating reprobate and stand around and wonder, well, I don't know what happened. I do. They got indoctrinated with satanic principles of Gnostic enlightenment. And they gravitated towards it. You know what the problem is more pastors need to preach keepers at home.
Right, man.
They don't want to do it. Why? Well, because people get mad at them when mom's told she should stay home. Because most Christians today have accepted feminism and the feminist movement. They've accepted and said, well, that's just bad to say mom has to stay home. Really? Why is it bad? Yeah. Why is it bad? Why is it bad if mom has to stay home? That's God's order. It's not a bad thing. It's a blessed thing. If you follow the scriptures and you actually believe God. Most of these pastors today, though, they don't believe God and they won't preach that keepers at home. I've seen them. The wives will be grieved about it. They want to stay home with their kids and the husbands won't let them. And the pastor backs the husband. Now, I understand not turning a husband and a wife against each other, but I can't sit with a man and tell him, hey, buddy, you're right with God because you want your wife to go take care of you. Right? That you want your wife to go take care of you. I can't preach that to you. I can't tell you a lie and tell you that I think your wife should go out and get a job and pay the bills. Because I'd be lying to you then because I don't believe she should. I believe, number one, we should create less bills if it's a problem. And number two, we should keep mom at home and you should go to work. Yeah, but what if I have to work and do all this and do all that? How big's your God, buddy?
Right.
How big is he? Huh? How big is he? That's what I want to know. Faith cometh by hearing, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you trying to tell me that God commanded something? He ordered something? He laid it down, but he will not give you the ability to see it through? Boy, there's a disconnect there somewhere. You just don't understand how much debt. No, but I know a guy that did it for many years. I know a guy that paid off $140,000 worth of debt. By the grace of God, he worked himself to the bone and he's pastoring a work over there called Family Bible Baptist Church and his testimony is all over the world. Look it up sometime. I got the magazine if you want to read it. What did he do? He just believed God and he said, Lord, this is your order and I'm going to follow it. I got me into this mess and by the grace of God, you'll get us out of it. But we're going to honor you and we're going to follow you. By the way, this is America, too. This is not some third world country, okay? Yet. It's getting there, but not yet. You can still go make a decent wage, and you can work hard, and you can be diligent, and you can do what you have to do to see what needs to be done, to do what needs to be done to honor God. Otherwise, you run the risk of raising a reprobate. Is it worth it? Is some extra money worth it? Is it? Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Lord, I pray it helps someone out there. I hope it strengthens others that are fighting the good fight of faith. And Lord, I pray there be a mass exodus of Christians out of public education, Lord, that it would bankrupt that whole wicked, rotten, disgusting, devilish, agnostic system. Bring it down by the grace of God and the power of God, that men would be saved. Help us now, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.